Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
So where's the office back at Division?
In the office, baby. Going up.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Sets, fires, touchdown, Garrett Wilson, wow!
In the end zone! Oh, what a catch! Jeremy Rucker, give me that!
Fields, the throw, steps up, delivers deep down the field, he's got a receiver, a long way, touchdown!
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
The Ohio State Buckeye.
What is up? We are back, baby. How are the holidays treating you folks? Just as well as me, I doubt it. As always, this is the only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. I got to call out a few podcasts right now because I was listening to them today, and I listen to them regularly, but they interrupt a whole, like a person's sentence with a fucking commercial, like 30 seconds or sometimes a minute of commercials.
I hate that. And then
it drives me fucking wild.
I forget what they were saying when they came back in.
Yeah.
They busted up at a very inopportune time.
Yeah, here's a question. Half of it's cut up. I don't know the question now. It doesn't make sense. Buckeye Scoop, you guys are huge violators of this. Who else?
I don't think they get a say. I think that stuff's like random inserted ads. Because I think they would time that better than... I mean, I watched a few things and that on YouTube, and the ads are just ridiculous.
Well, whoever's doing it is a big, big problem. I think anything on the 24/7 network, they do that shit too. All the podcasts just interrupt shit. Anyways, like I said, this is the only commercial-free Ohio State podcast. You might ask yourself, Joe, why are you so stupid to not do commercials? I will tell you why. Because we don't need commercials. I pay for this out of my own pocket. How do you like that? Give us a 5-star rating if you think that's cool. Subscribe, follow us, all that stuff. If you think it's cool to get commercials, go listen to other podcasts, I guess. We do have new hoodies in the supply store. So hit it up. These, I tell you what's been flying off the shelves this week. The Woody Hayes, Sean, I know you have one. The Woody Hayes quote, because I couldn't go for three shirts.
Classic.
All week, every day, I'm sending out shirts. It's insane. I've never seen this kind of love for the Woody Hayes quotes. I'm going to have to crank out some other different quotes and set those up for order, but... quick bourbon talk. You guys dipped into anything recently? I'm sorry, I got Jeff and Sean here as usual. Go ahead.
What's up, brother? No, just enjoying my Angels envy. That's it.
Nice. Yeah.
Sit on a nice glass right now.
That shit's,
I like it.
Smooth.
Nice and smooth. It's nice and smooth. You just pour a glass, let it sit, sip on it.
Yeah.
It's the way I like to enjoy my bourbon.
Yeah.
I'm just finishing up that new riff.
Nice.
Got to make a Costco run here before the holidays, stock up on my non-perishables, and see if I can't, see if they got that Legend and this new riff. I don't know, it's kind of grown on me, so I'm finishing up now, and it's drinkable.
So, you know how our devices are always listening to us? I've been getting Legend ads in Twitter, like, for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy quinkadink.
Yeah, because I've never, ever spoken of it before. So, yeah, I did.
Foreboding.
Yeah, I checked it out at ABC the other day. Yeah, it looks like a good bottle. Might have to grab a bottle. I'm not a. I don't have any experience with the Japanese whiskey front, so it's kind of an untapped venture for me.
Yeah, well, don't be a pussy and try it.
I know the other Japanese things, but just not the whiskey part.
Fuck.
Leave that alone. Today, the ABC Vault opened up, and I was able to score a Stag Junior for 55 Dolores, and I got a private barrel Eagle Rare for like 38. So I'm pumped about that, waiting for those to come in. I have two logins for ABC, so that's how I was able to get two bottles, because you can only buy one at a time. So I'm super pumped about the Stag. We'll see about the Eagle. The way I see it is you can't go wrong with any kind of Eagle. But so, boys, tonight I think we should talk about a little rerun of the Michigan State game. Seemed like it was 2 months ago. And then we talk about our future. Not like our individual futures, but Ohio State's future. Buckeyes roll to a nice 42-point victory. Jeff and Sean, let's start with Sean. Give me your one big positive that stuck out to you.
Oh, I was trying to think. Do you got last week's scores? What did I pick on that score last week?
I got you right here, yeah. 33-17, you're way off.
What the? Okay. Well, that wasn't good. We did a hell of a lot better than that.
Sure did.
I would say my one positive has to be our play at center. no.
That's it?
That's not it. What would I say is our positive? I would say, I guess this is, to me, probably Trey Sermon's most consistent game.
Yeah.
I'll go with Sermon.
Yeah. Jeff, would you take away as a huge your bright spot if you had to choose one? Jeff, are you there? I can't. No, he fell off.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff's would be we stopped the run. You can't run on Ohio State lately.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, we keep that in check and things go well. It was nice to not give up 500 yards through the air this week. Hey.
Yeah, I was getting ready to call you right back just now. I don't know what happened. I lost you.
Yeah. So
I was having trouble with my headphones too. Anyways.
Yeah. You probably hung up.
I probably didn't hang up. I'm just sitting here and the fucking thing went out. So, hey, it's 2020, man. Wait, we're all in this together.
That's right.
I'm going to use that tomorrow. I was just asking Sean his highlight for the Buckeyes against Michigan State on offense. Or, I mean, just his general highlight from the game. And he touched on Trey Sermon. What did you take away as if you had to choose one thing as a bright spot?
Are you talking about a play in particular or just in general?
Just something that stood out to you.
Haskell Garrett's play and, you know, pick six, if you want to call it that, was awesome. I legitimately was, like, super happy for him.
Yeah.
And it showed that the celebration that the team had
I mean, that's hands down story of the year, right? I mean, already. Yes.
I see Tom Rinaldi doing a nice slow intro, right, mm-hmm. on ESPN. Maybe a 30 for 30. Who knows?
Oh, it'll get one of those game day stories. You know, yeah. What did you feel when you were laying there, Haskell? Yeah, but no, just the overall, just the complete like dominance, the proper showing for the team. You know, they did exactly what they were supposed to do with Michigan State and Larry Johnson. The amount of excitement they had for him coaching probably what mostly stood out. The celebration, just because everybody played. I mean, because they played the game they were supposed to play. No. Yeah. No real setbacks.
I mean, after our second touchdown, I was getting texts, you know, from my Sparty buddies that were like, "We just don't have the athletes to hang with you guys."
You didn't know that before the game?
Yeah, really did, but it was so apparent. I think it might have been when Garrett Wilson stiff-armed that kid and walked into the end zone.
Right. Yeah.
That was
a grown man run by a guy that's about 180 pounds.
Yeah.
But no, great to see. Great win. We played like what everybody expected us to play. You know, what everybody thought that game would be like back in August or whatever.
Yeah.
We showed it. So it was good to, and that's the lasting image. It turns out until the conference title game, but end up being the last image of the season.
Did you have a negative takeaway, Jeff?
Yes, I did. Why the fuck can a guy that is now our starting right guard came to Ohio State and played center some?
I know he was a center, right? Why does he not know
how to snap the ball? And we don't need right in the, you know, perfect laser popping every time, snap, snap, snap. But just something that if we didn't have the most athletic quarterback, you know, one of the best athletes in college football playing quarterback, we could have easily went, you know, three and out, and, you know, on that opening drive, opening first couple drives, maybe even. I mean, we can't afford to do that. That's the major takeaway I saw was, holy shit. We need Josh Myers more than we thought we needed him because I don't know if it was mental. It got to a point where it was either, like he had the yips or something. I don't know.
Well, the other
drive
thing
me
is,
in, drive me insane though.
The other thing is, and I guess maybe just not ready, but the kid throwing a blanket. The kid from Erasmus Hall was recruited as a center. He's what, a junior now? What's his name?
Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Matt Jones.
He can't slide in there? Isn't he on the depth chart listed as a second center?
Obviously, they thought Miller was doing better. I'm sure they looked at a couple people.
They probably thought sliding Miller over would be better because the guys they got to bring
more experience
are better than Jones mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
Yeah. You need to, you know, put the experienced guy.
But I mean, the inconsistent. I mean, if you're having bad snaps, it's usually you keep doing the same thing. You know, you're doing it. You know, his was all over the map. I mean, so you know, Justin
should be noted. Former shortstop Justin Fields.
I could not believe how calm he stayed during all of that
and made
all of those snaps. And just like, I'm gonna pick this ball up. There's six dudes trying to get me right now. All right, just grab this, and then I'm gonna, and making plays.
And
unbelievable. That, I mean, most people are kind of. I mean, when that happens in a game, you're kind of freaking out and like, oh shit, I got to get on that ball. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna go do this.
A lot of that too. Like we're playing. If we're in the fucking playoff game and it's Clemson or Notre Dame. You know, in their opening series, it's because our center's out. We have our right guard throwing a ball like that. We're not getting all those balls, probably. And if so, we're going to be punting immediately. I mean, against the certain talent, that could have been super costly. But hopefully it won't be a non-issue if, you know, Josh Myers stays healthy and, you know, we don't have any more COVID setbacks the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But man, it was that glaring.
He better be back because it's going to be damn close to 21 days by the time the Big Ten championship rolls around.
I thought, obviously, you don't hear anything from the university on what the exact day, time is when they're all open. But they all played the week before. Everybody should be able to come back. Everyone who was part of the initial outbreak or whatever should be eligible.
But I think they said affected. So to me, that makes me think like, hey, they were exposed to someone and have to quarantine, but not necessarily had it.
Yeah, because, contact tracing. Like in your instance, Sean, where you work at, like you would have been held out of practice.
Easy on the HIPAA laws, brah.
don't let people know my business.
Yeah, I got a sore HIPAA.
I mean, what's going to be obvious though? I mean, none of the guys, if you're not on the injury report all year, you just don't show up in the game.
Exactly.
You don't travel, you're just not there.
Josh Myers this week. So Josh, what were you doing last weekend? What's up, man?
But I gotta tell you though, the play of the game for me was, and I was actually at a bar watching this. We had one bar open that a buddy of mine found that has one side open to the outdoor, so it's considered an outdoor bar.
Nice.
And
loophole.
And I got in a little argument with a guy when, after Justin Fields ran down the field and made that block on the touchdown run.
Yeah.
What was that, like 60 yards downfield? I lost my mind during that moment. And there's a couple of, obviously, there was around this fire thing left on TV at. There were a few Spartan fans and then enrolled a few Michigan guys. And quarterbacks don't do that. I said, that is do you guys recognize how beautiful that is, what you just saw there? No, big deal, whatever. I was like, Rocky Lombardi's not doing that. I said, your boy Tom Brady isn't doing that.
No.
He's like, Tom Brady doesn't have to.
Okay.
I said, Tom Brady can't. I said, he couldn't do that.
He handed the ball off to a guy and then got the lead block at the 5-yard line to spring him. That's cool.
Actually, I was worried. I mean, get the head in front of there, Justin. That's a little too close to be screwing up that run.
Yeah, I think if that had been a receiver, he might have got flagged.
That was close.
You can't do that. It looked close live.
It looked real close live, but then I saw that picture the other day from behind. And he clearly clipped the guy in the front because the guy's sliding, falling towards his back. So it looked, the still was a lot more clear.
Well, the technique you have to use now is more of a shield. You can't just clean the guy.
Yeah.
You have to just shield him, glance him a little bit, just enough to slow him down and not completely take him out. That's the play that most guys use on punt return and shit like that. Kick return.
But man, what effort.
That was awesome, yeah. Yeah. So what do you want to dig into on this game quickly? I want to get into tonight. I want to talk a little, we're not going to break down the Big Ten championship game. We can talk about having the Michigan game canceled and what that means, and then if we have time, we could talk about the CFP implications, but there really won't be any until after next week. So as far as the Michigan State game goes, anything you want to really touch on other than your terrible predictions? I nailed the Michigan State score. Thanks.
Let's go to the scores. Let's recap.
You dropped off. I missed it big time.
I had 40-12 Buckeyes, so I nailed Sparty's score.
Oh yeah, that was sweet with the late safety.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Backdoor safety cover.
Oh, it was cover anyway. But Sean, you had 33-17. Jeff, you had 38-13. Did we hit the over? No, we did not. 59.5 was the over under. Wait, we did. Yeah, 64. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking 40.
The game did. Yeah. 40.
Come on, Joe. Yeah. Math is fun.
Yeah. It's too late for that shit.
I just listening to the pros and all the analysts and all the bullshit you see.
Okay. Let's start right there. I'm sorry, Jeff. I gotta jump in on you before I forget my point. How about that fucking camera angle from ESPN? What was the quality of that shit? Did you see that? Was that even HD? That looked like it was shot in the 80s. Am I wrong?
I don't know. It feels like, I don't know, the budget's cut this year. I feel like there's a lot of camera and stuff. It almost looks like, high school coaches getting
somebody's iPhone?
Yeah, you know what, Joe? Yeah, I did see it, but mine changed some.
Really?
Mine changed a little. But it was shitty most of the time. But then I never know if it's the shitty internet service that we have here in suburban Orlando.
I don't think so, dude.
All right.
I did notice it because I
got a my setup. I got three brand new TVs. I say brand new, like less than 2 months old. They should be sparkling. And I'm looking at the screen. And I said, my wife. I said, hey, what's that shit?
The colors are terrible.
What is it? Is it the YouTube TV? Is it the internet? Oh. What is it? Yeah. The Wi-Fi.
It's what they're shooting. No. The colors were like really drab, and you couldn't see the cocaine whites, which I really want to see popping off the screen.
I agree. I think if that game was on Fox, I want to see those. I want to see those white uniforms again.
And then those announcers, dude. Why is Dan Orlovsky doing fucking football games, especially from a studio, much less in person? That was pathetic.
Because he doesn't leave. I don't know why they don't send out announcers, but Dan Orlovsky is an NFL Live studio host, or not a host, but a studio guy at ESPN.
Just an analyst.
He watches a ton of film. He played a lot of quarterback very awfully.
Yeah.
But he played a lot of it, and he studies the shit out of it. But yeah, I don't know why he's doing games.
That whole broadcast was a shit show, man. I mean,
2020, baby.
Exactly. I mean, I never. What I was getting to was, nobody knows anything what's going to happen these years. Like we're trying to figure out. This might be a low scoring game, and then it rattles off 54 points. We don't.
That's why
everything's up in the air, man. I don't know how gamblers are making any money, and most of the people that are making picks are not doing well as far as what they're. I hope they're not using their money what they're saying on TV.
Yeah. So Sermon goes for 100 yards. Man. Fields goes for 100 yards. Two touchdowns rushing. C.J. Stroud goes for 48.
Oh.
And a touchdown. So, Olave has a nice day, but the two fumbles concern me.
He's made that same fumble in the same spot in the field like two other times this year.
Yeah.
He goes for that extra yard. He gets fucking hammered in there by the safety and the other dude that's tackling him, whether it's a corner or linebacker. Mm-hmm. And he takes some hard hits in there. Gosh, worry about the guy's safety, but man, he coughs that one. It's the same play every time that he coughs it up.
Yeah, he needs some weight on him. He needs some girth. He's got to get a little bigger. I'll tell you who my new guy is. Rocket Ronnie Hickman. He don't take no shit. You kick his fucking helmet, he's going to get in your ass. That's some bullshit, too. And then Coach Combs is up in his ass on the sidelines. He's like, what am I supposed to do, Coach? Kick my helmet. Fuck you.
Yeah,
I was on his side, man. I understand he took a bad 15-yarder, but hey, man, you can't just blatantly kick the kid's helmet around. That should be a penalty.
That should be unsportsmanlike conduct immediately.
I think it is a penalty.
If it's seen, if it's blatant, I mean,
the shit wasn't in the play. The play was over.
If a referee witnesses a guy kicking an opponent's helmet. You know, and not kicking it, like rolling it to him. But kick, yes, that should be called as a penalty every time. And in a lot of situations, you would see it thrown. You know, in a, but I liked what we saw from Ronnie Hickman. I like
he's getting some tackles. He's getting on plays. Yeah,
he fires to the football.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know. I think he showed out. Like he was one of those guys. Like, oh, I see 14. I see him working out here. You know, he's making an impact. Maybe it'll lead to it should lead to more playing time. I don't expect that 15-yard penalty to be a hindrance in whether he plays or not.
He was in there because Proctor was out. I mean, that's why he was there. But shit, man, I don't have any issues with him getting on the field more often until he fucks up, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the secondary obviously did a lot better.
And yeah, do you guys think that's a result of the offense we were going against?
Well, we would have yes. looked a lot better. That's the quick answer. I wish Lombardi would have stayed in there because we would have looked a hell of a lot better. That dude that they brought in, he's their starting quarterback.
And he started out like 11 for 11 or something stupid like that.
But they also changed their play calling. You notice that? They were going very conservative, short throws, where Rocky Lombardi is just chuck a downfield guy. You know?
Yeah, but I think I'm with you, Jeff. I think Sparty owes us, you know, a thank you. We found their next quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. Because now you can roll in. Are they gonna play a bowl game? It's like optional this year, right? Like you can play.
I don't think they would. They're like 2-4.
No, I don't.
But well, I think everybody's there's no bowl eligibility. Exactly.
But I thought I read something where like three of the Big Ten bowls, you know, like you know, they are some garbage ass bowls, but the three bowls that Big Ten are already
canceled, right?
Yeah,
but you know, these coaches, even if you had a 500 record or a losing record like that, they would take it just for the extra 15 practices or whatever.
You know, if there's an opportunity to, they would take it.
I will say I saw today on Twitter though that Boston College coach Hafley, they opted out of bowl eligibility. They personally decided because this season has been such a strain on their team and their players that they're opting out.
Oh, yeah, sure they are. I've been on some boards, and I think old Halfley's opting out so he can opt into some bigger job, maybe.
You think already, after 1 year?
I hear rumblings.
I think he'll be listening to offers, and there might be some offers.
It all depends on what happens up here in Harbaugh, but I think Michigan fans want him.
I wasn't even thinking Michigan or Texas. I was just thinking.
I would say
he's probably the highest on that list.
All right. Then let's lead right into that, since that's a hot topic, is the contract extension, I guess, that Michigan has offered him is a lower salary but higher incentive-laden contract. I gotta say, I think that it's almost an insult to a guy like.
Hold on, has it been offered? Is that we got official on that?
Yeah, yeah. John Bacon. John My Bacon. I love some bacon. He said, "Yeah, he has sources that this contract has been offered. It's like a 3-year extension, lower salary, like base." But more lower incentive, buyout. Like lower buyout. Right? That's key. That's key. So I'm not sure. That almost seems like a slap in the face, doesn't it?
I mean, if you're like, you're okay if he doesn't take it. Like you're, you can say you offered him, right. But was it really acceptable?
That was rumored, and then I watched, or I didn't watch. I was in the car, and I listened to the presser. with Ward Manuel and Jim Harbaugh about canceling the Ohio State game. And reporters started asking about this extension and that. And those two dumb fucks couldn't have handled it any worse. And, I mean, who knows what's going on with those cards. Yeah. I mean, if I were a Michigan fan, oh, gosh, I would be hating my coach, hating my AD. These guys don't know what the fuck they're doing, I swear. So I'm hoping he gets the extension. I'm really hoping he gets that extension.
Yeah, I just seem, my point is, I think it seems like a slap in the face if you're a Harbaugh, a former player coming back here. You brought the program back to somewhat respectability, and now you're getting a cut in salary, essentially.
Well, you know what? He's way underperformed.
If you take another job, you're getting a cut in salary. You're not going up in salary. I don't care if
not if he goes to the NFL.
He ain't gonna make more in the NFL.
No,
he will too.
More than
$8 million.
Oh, he will too.
How much are these guys making now? And it's not like and Harbaugh's stock has went way down. He's not gonna pull the money that he would have pulled in 2015.
I think the top NFL coaches are around $8 to $10 million.
No,
top two or three, and Harbaugh's and not coming in. He's not coming in. He's eight and a half, whatever. I know it fluctuates year to year with the deal, but it's something like 8.5 that he's making now.
I would think you would drop him and say, you know what, you're going to make less than Ryan Day.
Well, Gruden, beat Ryan John Day, Gruden's making more. $10 million a year,
and he's like the highest though.
He's up there. Matt Rhule is up there.
So you think Jim Carolina. Harbaugh comes in and smashes the ceiling on NFL coaches? I don't.
I think, according to John Bacon, he's been offered five teams have shown interest.
On that Valente show. Yeah, you know what? Everyone's kicking the tires. Oh, hey, let me look at Harbaugh. What's been going on with him? We haven't paid attention to him since he left. And they're like, oh, he fucking sucks. I mean,
he's so maybe we can get him cheap.
And you know, it's like a lot of things I'm reading up here is like, you look at Harbaugh when he got hired into Michigan and the fire and, you know, the goofiness and whatever, which was annoying as fuck. It's like, he's like a broken man now. I mean, you see him and he's a stumbling fuck. And it's kind of sad to see, but I don't think he's the same Harbaugh. I don't think the college game suits him. I think I think the best choice would be for him to go to NFL, go to the Detroit Lions, try that out. You don't even have to move, you know. But gosh, I hope he stays.
I can't imagine that would strike me as bizarre as all hell. If he stayed in Coastal Lions and like stayed in the state of Michigan, like I just don't think he would ever.
He's not tied to that area though.
He loves the
university and Shem Beckler, and frankly, the university loves him. They want him out of there now, and they probably wish this never happened because they loved Jim Harbaugh. They absolutely loved him.
It's an impossible situation for both parties. I mean. Like just like Scott Frost at Nebraska, you know, they're probably not super happy with the results so far, but he's their, you know, their all-star, their all-timer. Yeah. You can't just cut him and let him go.
You know, it'd be like firing Archie Griffin or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Beat it, loser.
Firing Rich Rod is way easier.
Right. Yeah, it's a shit show. It's a mess. And good for them.
Yeah, keep him. I think his interest will run out. If it hasn't burned out already, it will definitely burn out before these next 3 years are up. There's no way, Sean, like from what you're saying, like in the press conferences and stuff, and the way he tries to think of excuses and answers for questions, but he ends up just like rambling. I don't see it. I don't see him making
three more years. Where's the turnaround coming?
Well, I think that's why, that's probably why the buyout is totally, they're throwing it out to 3 years because you have to for recruiting and for a myriad of reasons. So you got to throw out at least multiple years. But the reality of it is you got next year, Harbaugh. And if you don't fucking do it, you're gone. And we will do the buyout because we negotiated it down. That to me is the most logical.
Well, we see the recruiting rankings and they have nothing coming down the pipeline. So that's a big, big challenge. We see them not being able to develop any position groups, especially quarterback. So what else is there? I don't know. I know that there are limited options as far as other coaches that you could hire, but what else? I don't know what they expect.
Well, that's the other thing that I heard. They're like, or a bunch of speculation. I didn't hear it. Is that, you know, what is being talked about with Harbaugh staying? Because, you know, pretty much the fan base alumni, I think they want that. If Harbaugh stays, the staff needs to be nuked. It needs to be Don Brown's gone. That doesn't work anymore.
That's a great point. I want to touch on that. This is a noticeable issue. None of his coaches on his staff are wanted men by other teams. Gaddis, Don Brown, nobody. I mean, we got Madison, okay. But Al Washington was probably the only highlight of his coaching staff, and he's gone to Columbus. So
I would say that most people, what they're saying up here, like the best coach on the staff, the one that they don't want to see go, is Warner.
I think they should make him OC, actually.
Yeah, right.
Get whatever you can do to get him in front of the microphone more. I've
more in charge. That's like the one, and I always thought he was a really good O-line coach and a shitty offensive coordinator. Yeah. You become a Larry Johnson and be an iconic O-line coach.
Well, yeah, I guess you have to know your role and stick to it. Unfortunately, he ventured a little outside of his comfort zone, him and Tim Beck, both.
But they still got their five-star quarterback coming in next year.
They'll ruin him.
I know.
What's his name? J.J. McCarthy? Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
He posted something on Twitter, like it was the day after.
Still 100% committed?
Maybe the day after it announced that they couldn't play or something. They can't wait to sign in on early.
The goofy thing is, in that press conference when they asked the Harbaugh and that Ward about the contract, they said, "We're waiting till the end of the season to talk about it. We haven't really talked about it." And we're waiting, and they're like, "Well, you know, they're canceling their house thing." And they're like, "It's the end of the, when is the end of the season? We're here.
So now, hello." You mean?
And he's like, the end of the season's the 19th. And they're like, "Well, National Signing Day is the fucking 16th. Exactly. So,
you think those kids, those few kids you might have you signing?
I mean,
they would like to know. I'm sure they would like to know if they're coaching.
I am so hoping there is a stud kid up here out of Gross Point, a cornerback. He's like the top 10 corner. I think he's a big, heavy Michigan lean right now. That's the type of kid that I think, kid, are you kidding me? You're going to go there?
Yeah.
You got the fast track to the NFL.
Is
the high stakes, obviously, if he's not committed and he's that high of rank,
he's not committed. And Ohio State, if you look at 247, Ohio State's on the list.
Gotcha.
But I think all the predictions are Michigan.
We'll see how that plays out.
Another kid, that kid out of California, that Damani Jackson.
I think these two are buddies, and they're going to be like package deal, maybe.
For Mater D, I think. Is that right, Joe?
Mater D.
Mater D, whatever.
Is that the guy that gives you your table at a restaurant?
Yeah, I always wonder why they named this high school after.
It's modern day.
That's modern day. What the fuck? Maitre d'.
I thought it was Maitre d'. Whatever. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm very sure. It's Latin.
Oh, from the Latin? Oh, I thought it was from the Greek. Fucking
from the Latin. From the Latin. You're an asshole.
Right, so what else you guys want to cover?
The fuck I'm talking about.
Jeff, you got your headphones in? I can't hardly hear you.
I don't know. Yes, the headphones are in.
That's sounds better. Great.
I still want to have to go back and edit all this audio. It takes me forever. What else you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about the Michigan game getting canceled? Briefly.
Yeah.
We saw it coming. We all saw it coming.
Herbie
saw it. We called this like 3 weeks ago, didn't we?
Herbie saw it coming. Yeah, I caught it. I think maybe like second week. Or maybe after our first cancellation. Like, oh, here we go. Give Michigan a chance. That's why we should have played them early in the year. You give them a chance. Because now it just, whether they did it on purpose or not, it's a bitch-ass look.
If you note that initial schedule that came out from the Big Ten, the very first one,
they were third.
Yeah, it was early in the season. Now, second or third version, whatever. It was last game and then whacked.
And it puts Michigan in a bad spot. And puts us especially in a bad spot. and especially it looks really bad because it's like half the fan base and, you know, is calling for it. And Herbstreit's calling it out on national TV and he goes and then apologizes or whatever. But it kind of, and we were talking about it, like you said, weeks ago on here. It was, I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And this, it just felt like it. They're so awful. Again,
a 2-4 team.
I argued about this with a couple of Michigan guys, but I'm like, it's unbelievable. I said, I don't care if Ohio State was the worst team. I couldn't wait to play you guys if you were number one ranked. All right, good. Let's play. And it's like, you guys are defeated. And with a fan base like that, how do you get the recruits?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the whole package with these schools, I think. And
well, we talked about
Ohio
it.
State got these fan bases, and it's like Michigan's the whole thing, and with Harbaugh, they're defeated. I love it. We did it. We've
talked about it forever. I mean, it's a cultural issue. Their culture is fucked. I mean, you got Joe Milton on the sideline of games saying he's going to transfer. Are you fucking kidding me?
I want to hear more about that backstory. I want to hear the backstory on that.
I didn't go like, and research that at all.
Who actually reported it? Like, were the other players that said, yeah, we heard Joe talking on the sideline, or was it like an unnamed source?
Well, it's got to be, right? Because no one else is there.
I asked.
I mean, like, how does that get out?
I asked a couple of Michigan insiders on Twitter, and they said it was 100% true. And I'm just like jaw dropped, you know. You got to be fucking kidding me, man.
Like, so it's one of the games he got pulled, so he comes off after he gets pulled from the game.
The last one like, where McNamara came in and then he got hurt.
McNamara?
Yeah, McNamara. What?
Nothing.
He actually looked decent.
I'm laughing at the whole program and the whole state there. Sean, I'm laughing at that whole state. Like, just everything about Michigan cracks me up.
You know, the funny thing about the ebbs and flows of life, I thought Michigan State, for D'Antonio and all this, I thought Michigan State was going to go into the bin of history in Big Ten football. Mm-hmm. This may resurrect them again and give them another little 5-year spurt. Because who wants to go to Michigan?
Right.
You know, and Michigan State's popular up here. It is.
Yeah.
It's not Ohio State if you're that good a kid, but if you can start getting, you know, those next tier kids where Michigan State the last couple of years is getting some, you know, some bottom of the barrel. You know, they'll get an Antoine Simmons or, you know, a kid like that once in a while, but
right.
I mean, few and far between.
Yeah, and the Buckeyes cooled on him just as equally. So I think that was a two-sided scenario.
Maybe I wonder why, because he seems like a really good kid.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, I hate not having the Michigan game though. That just is gut wrenching.
I know.
No matter how big a favorite we are, you know, 30-point favorites, I get it. We were going to smash them. Wasn't going to do anything for us.
Right. It only Michigan. Hey, make it a game. You know, show some pride. Because I was arguing with those guys. It's like I was like, no one wants to play this game. Michigan's like happy not to play this game. It's like you guys are. I'm like, I can't believe that. He's like, well, I think the players and the coaches want to play. But do they? Michigan hasn't really looked like they want to play all year.
Yeah. Did you guys see what happened after that Thanksgiving, the pre-Thanksgiving game? Or I'm sorry, post-Thanksgiving Saturday, Michigan was at, were they at Maryland?
Penn State. We were supposed
Penn
to play.
State. Yeah.
They were at Penn State. We were supposed to play Maryland.
And they were tweeting out pictures and things of hanging out with their families after the game and going to doing Thanksgiving dinners and stuff that weekend. And it was obvious that they really didn't give a fuck about their corona testing. And they were just, I mean, Ohio State kids are not doing that. They're taking, you know, this very seriously. And they're probably not going to be able to see their families for Christmas either.
And, I mean, it's give a fuck level. Like, what?
Exactly.
What level? Yeah.
GSF.
No culture in the program. No culture in the program, and so they're just like, what the fuck are we gonna just go through all this hell for? We're not going anywhere. We're not gonna go play in a bowl game. The season's done. It sucked. We don't know if our
we don't like our coach.
They just got beat by an 0-5 team.
Our quarterback said he's transferring. Our pets' heads are falling off.
I think their pets' heads are long gone. But yeah, I just thought it was pathetic, and it showed that thinking back to that weekend made me remember that they really stopped giving a shit if they ever did, you know. And like, you know, like we just said, it's culture, and I think you got to have a coaching change to change the culture at this point.
Yeah, after
six years in,
you're not changing. Your words are not ringing out like they used to. So you can't just expect them to. He'll turn the culture around this year. Why would you think that? After the sixth year is going to be the trick. I don't know, man. But they're a fucking mess. I don't see.
Because they're dancing on glass, man. I mean,
but you know what though?
That program's about to implode.
All it takes, though. All it really takes. Is if they land on a quarterback? If this JJ McCarthy if he's the real fucking deal, then if they hit on a quarterback,
right,
that shit can turn around. In college football, it will turn around night and day.
But you got to coach that quarterback. Kids, I don't think it's that. I mean, I guess he hit on luck, you know.
I'm not saying I don't. I've not seen this kid. I have not seen the kid in Michigan. I've not seen him one bit. Don't I haven't seen any tape. I don't even know if it's his measurements. So I know nothing about him. So, but if he's a five-star kid, obviously a lot of people have, and they think he's going to be really good. So if he hits on him, and then say year two, what is that, 2022, he's the starting quarterback, or maybe even as a freshman, and they could have a squad, and by this is third year, and then
but you still got to put people around him, you know.
He's shown nothing that he can develop a quarterback and a system. It's not a gimme, but if he does, if it's the right match, you know how it is. You can turn a program around in college just with that. So I mean, that's really all he needs. That's the main problem.
Well, it's what it takes to win on national.
He hasn't landed the anymore.
To win the big games, to compete, you got to have an elite quarterback.
But you got to put up points, and you got to play some semblance of defense. I haven't seen them play any defense.
No, because they make their corners man cover the whole game,
right.
And that's fine. against Rutgers. Well, not this year it wasn't.
Sure.
But most years. Well, no, they won that in triple overtime, right?
Yes, they did finally score more points than Rutgers.
They chopped a little harder
in the seventh quarter.
But yeah, that doesn't, that shit don't fly trying to man up on Wilson and Olave.
No. We've seen that story.
Yeah, in all honesty, yeah, that would, what were they gonna do? What was Don Brown? Was Don Brown just gonna come out in like a cover two, like a Tampa two?
I think he might have. I think he might have like curled up on the sideline, started sucking his thumb, like.
Yeah.
Maybe I just act like I have a stroke.
Stop beating me, man.
He just, I'm old enough. If I just act like I'm stroking out, they'll just take me off the field, right?
Buckeyes roll, and so last topic here from the last 5 minutes, CFP rankings. I think it's set up nicely. They've kept Ohio State at number 4. There's no reason to drop them.
Not until Florida upsets Bama.
Jeff, that's reading my mind.
That's not happening. Have you seen Bama play?
Yes, I've seen plenty of both of them.
Okay.
I think Florida can score 40 points on Bama. Now Bama can probably score 60.
Yeah.
But I would take it over 80 points in the SEC championship.
Where do they
play that game?
I don't think it matters.
It's in Atlanta, like it always is.
Yeah. But you like how they how the ACC fast-tracked Clemson and Notre Dame into their conference championship?
I've enjoyed listening to a few Miami Hurricane fans.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Notre Dame win that game.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, actually. I don't know how a college football playoff committee right now, today, keeps Clemson out of the playoffs.
Not today.
They have two losses.
Game to the same team.
If they have two losses to this, and they're both to the same teams, that team goes, you don't.
And that team's going to go in the playoff. You might have to play them a third time. That ain't, no. Well, that ain't right.
No, I agree. Nobody wants to see that.
I'd let Florida A&M before that.
I think Clemson is going to crush them. It's not going to be close. They barely beat Clemson in overtime the first time around.
If Clemson crushes them, you think that knocks Notre Dame out?
For sure, yeah.
You think so?
Well, fuck yeah. Why do you assume that that's a gimme? That if they lose by 3 touchdowns.
Dude, they're not taking two ACC teams to the fucking playoffs. Why would they?
Because you
can't just assume that, though. With one loss, and their only loss being to the number 3 team or whatever.
They split with them?
If Florida beats Bama and Clemson wins, then we could be left out because of our number of games played.
I agree. We're in big jeopardy of that.
There's so much blowback right now saying, like, you know, our whole conference has folded everything in order just for us to make the playoff. I think there's a lot of resentment nationally about that.
Well, but they want Ohio State in that playoff.
Exactly.
The playoff does, they do, yeah, but.
But,
I don't know.
You know, if they can have Notre Dame, okay, we got the Midwest covered.
You're still putting in Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame. You got your names covered, but and then Florida. Jesus Christ.
Nothing west of the Mississippi.
Well, there's nothing else out there. I don't want to hear about USC's undefeated shit. They played four fucking games. Oregon. Oh. I thought Oregon was supposed to be like a playoff team going into the season. Where are they? Not even ranked. Not in the top 25.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and start bragging about conferences because the Big Ten is shit.
I think the Big Ten is all down, but I think the Big Ten is more. There's more parity, I think, than there has been in a lot of years. There's usually been three good teams
below Ohio State, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, below us. Yeah, yeah. Like we've ascended, and then, but I think. Mm-hmm. Our second place is close to our seventh place as it's ever been.
But I agree with that, Jeff.
So I don't know. That's good and bad, I think.
My problem is there used to be Penn State, Michigan, and Wisconsin that were just below us. They were in that second tier of college football where they could go, play with anybody in the country, essentially. Now we don't have that. Now we go straight to the middling. It's like Ohio State and then all middling teams.
Right.
You got five of them. But none of them are like, wow. And Illinois or Indiana was having a great year, but Indiana isn't going to beat Clemson and fucking Bama. I don't care if Penix is healthy.
Well, just getting back to the top four of the playoffs, let's go by what is probably going to happen. I mean, we can look at spreads, and Vegas will tell you what's going to happen. We're going to end up number four, playing Bam in the first round. Clemson and Notre Dame may flip-flop if Notre Dame wins that game. But, if Clemson wins that game, which most likely will happen, they might flip, 2 and 3. But we're still going to end up playing Bama, the number one, in the first round.
So you're saying, regardless of who wins the ACC championship game, they're both going to go?
That's how I see it. Because Bama's going to beat Florida.
So Clemson and Notre Dame, they're going to set them up to play a third time, guaranteed? I don't see.
I don't either.
And Clemson won't go with two losses.
Here's your option, dude. You bring in a 7-1 Texas A&M at number five right now. You gonna flip them for Notre Dame?
Yes.
Oh God.
No, I just if Clemson loses, giving them two losses to the same school, that school is in Notre Dame. They are out.
Yep.
And probably A&M. Yeah, we slide to three, A&M to four. So it's us, Notre Dame, A&M, Bama rematch. If Bama wins comfortably against Florida,
dude.
Because they could put Florida.
If Florida gets in, Bama overtime touchdown, that's a play-in game. That's a play-in game for Florida.
It is. You're right. Game. That's how it should be. They got one loss. They lost in conference. They're playing for the conference title. They lose conference title. It's two losses. You're out. See ya. Yeah, it'd be A&M.
Florida's going to win that game, and we're going to be fifth.
They're not going to put in two loss Clemson. I don't give a fuck. No. Fucking sunshine or not.
They're not going to lose, dude. That's my point.
Okay.
If Lawrence was playing the first time around, they would have won handily at Notre Dame. And the committee's going to take that into account.
If you think Notre Dame stays in, what's going to happen is Bama will be one, Clemson will be two. So when Clemson wins, Ohio State will go to three, and Notre Dame will be four.
Yeah. Yes.
That's fine. Yes. But
and I think I see because they want the Clemson Ohio State rematch, and then you got Bama.
Yeah, that's Notre Dame. Game.
That's huge. Bama Notre Dame. Then, I mean. That's the CFP's golden fucking goose right there. If they get those two matchups in the opening rounds, that's the best you can ask for.
Yeah,
I don't care what any fan base says in the country.
That's the only way it could happen, because you can't take a two-loss Florida, you can't take a 7-1 Texas A&M who has beaten nobody.
The only thing is if, like Jeff I think you're selling them short. If Florida beats Bama, they're both in, and Clemson's in, and then is Notre Dame in or Ohio State? That's gonna be the. You got to root against your Gators down there, boys.
I
have no problem rooting against Florida. I have a problem rooting for Bama.
Right. That's where
I have no problem rooting against Florida at all. I will kick a fucking Gator all day long. But, man.
That's where it's at.
Since 14, 6 years, they've never taken a two-loss team. And there's not a need to take one this year. It's not like, you know, there's one undefeated and everybody else has one and two losses. You're not down to the, you know, they're not going to take the two-loss team this year, because you're going to have an undefeated Ohio State. You're going to have a one-loss A&M, one loss.
You're going to see Cincy sneak in there.
There's going to be plenty of deserving one-loss teams to go before a two-loss team goes. Especially if you lose to the same team twice.
I think if Notre Dame gets crushed, they're in jeopardy of getting knocked out of the top four.
I'm rooting for Notre Dame. Notre Dame wins, Clemson's out. Yeah. And then we're guaranteed in pretty much.
Yeah, and I want Clemson. I
really, this year, you know, pre-COVID, I thought, okay, this is the year. This is rematch time with Clemson. It's going to come to that. And I'm still hoping it does.
I'm going to root for Notre Dame. I'm going to root for Notre Dame to beat them a second time, just so it gives us a clearer path to the playoff.
Depends on what time those games are.
We're at noon. I'm guessing the ACC is probably going to do the 3:30, and then SEC the 8. If I had to guess. Florida and Bama are getting the primetime game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure yet, but all right.
Maybe the SEC does the 3:30 game sometimes, the title game. So they might give Notre Dame and Clemson the primetime. Where are they playing that game at? Is that Charlotte?
Usually, yeah.
Where the Panthers play, their stadium. Right.
Yeah.
Is the Big Ten championship usually a noon game? I thought that was usually a night game.
It's usually a night game, but they moved it to the big noon kickoff. Yeah. It's Fox.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So right now they got Clemson Notre Dame at 4, Bama Florida 8.
Okay. Yeah. It's gonna be a great day. It's gonna be a great day to watch football though.
We got to
look good though, winning. We can't be like last drive pulling out a victory over Northwestern. We got to come out, play Northwestern, beat them up like we should, and then have the committee looking at that. But it's not going to be the last thing they see.
Again, style points matter. If it comes down to, oh, do we take a Notre Dame that just lost to Clemson, you know, in a close game, or do we take Ohio State? That's when those style points will come into play.
Right. Yeah, because you're right. The Florida-Bama game, that's a play-in for Florida. Bama's in regardless.
Yeah. All right.
It would take Florida to win, like, by 30 for them to say, do we have to put Bama in? I mean, it would be something like that. It would be something that ain't happening.
No. All right, well.
Oh, hey, real quick, Joe. I heard Bo Bishop today on the radio said something about the gold pants. Talking about the Drew Chrisman Twitter talking shit with the Michigan's punter. Yeah. And he said, we're talking about the Chrisman was wearing his fifth pair of pants. And Bo said something. He's like, I don't know what they want to do for the gold pants this year. Just give them all gold pants and put Ohio State -30.5 maybe on them.
Yeah. Might as well.
Shit like that sucks for the guys. They don't get the, you know, that's jewelry. You know, that shit lasts forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the memories and everything else.
Right. Well, we'll break down the Northwestern game next week and get ready for that one. Last game before next year. Assuming they still play the playoff games on the first. So.
This 2020, we still got 21 days, folks.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Anything can go wrong because yeah. We got.
That's plenty of time for any Buckeyes to quarantine.
Well, all these schools got to keep it. They can't come back from Christmas and have a bunch of positive tests. So that could fuck
up. I know.
So nobody's out in the woods yet, man. Until these games are played to the day of, you know, as we've seen. So we can hope now. While we,
I'm fine with giving players the vaccines early.
Yeah. All right, boys. Great show. We will hit you folks up next week. Don't forget to visit the website, thebuckeyecast.com, and follow us on Twitter. I'm always tweeting out some happy thoughts. We will talk to you next week. We'll get ready for Northwestern. Thanks, boys.
All right.
We'll see you.
All right, brother.
Later.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.